Now we're turning again to the book of Genesis and the sixth chapter and the story of a man called Noah. One Bible commentator called him a downright upright man. And I say that's a wonderful presse of Noah's life. Noah was a man of God, a man of righteousness, a man who was just before God. And how we all, even from our childhood, we have heard the story of Noah and the ark. It's one of those wonderful historical records in the Bible that when we hear of Noah, we remember Noah and the ark. When we think about Jonah, we say Jonah and the whale or Jonah and the great fish. But of course, there is much more to Noah than even the ark. And we want to think about him this morning. This passage of Scripture is very dear to me because the night I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior, on the 21st of February 1965, which is 50 years ago. Now, I know I don't look 50, but can't help that. But anyway, 50 years ago, as a young man in the old Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church under the ministry of Dr. Paisley, I came to know the Lord Jesus as my own and personal Savior. And Dr. Paisley wasn't preaching on this passage of Scripture, but however, as he preached through the message on a number of occasions, he quoted the words of verse 3. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. And it was through those words, and my spirit shall not always strive with man. I thought about it, thought about my upbringing in a Christian home, thought about how many times I had heard the gospel, how many times I had heard the stories of Jesus, and yet I still wasn't saved. And God spoke to me that night through that verse of Scripture, and I came to know the Lord Jesus, whom to know is life eternal. But the story of Noah is one which we would say is almost universally known. And we love to read the story, the historical record, as we find it here in the Word of God. But there are certain things that we will look at for a moment or two this morning, and you'll see that there's a parallel even between the days of Noah and the days in which we live. Even as the Word of God reminds us over there in the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 24 and in verse 37, the Word of God says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And we are reminded that we are living in the last days, and the Word of God reminds us that just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days preceding the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Word of God emphasizes that they were eating and drinking, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage right up until the day that the flood came. In other words, everything was going on just as usual. People were getting on with life. People were living for themselves, living for the pleasures of this world, living for sin and for self until the day that the flood came and took them all away. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, as we think about Genesis chapter 6 here, that Noah's world was reprobate. Every time we read the passage here in Genesis 6, and we think of the words there where it says in verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. The Bible says in verse 5 that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Noah's world was reprobate. The days in which Noah was called to walk with God was a day when the whole world, the Bible says, was filled with violence, and all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And every thought of the imagination of his heart was only evil continually. And as you read down the chapter, you find out different things that characterize that. Was a world in which there was the unequal yoke between the godly and the ungodly. The Bible talks here about the days when the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they took, saw they were fair, they took of them wives of all they chose. Chapter 4 of the book of Genesis tells us about the line of Cain, which is the line of the ungodly. Chapter 5 reminds us of the line of Seth, which was the line of the godly. But chapter 6 reminds us that the lines of Seth and Cain seem to be intertwined. And there's been great debate about who exactly these giants were that came upon the earth. Who were the sons of God that came in unto the daughters of men. And mighty men, giants were born. But whatever it was an unequal yoke between the godly and the ungodly. And God has always reminded us that we are to be as a separated people unto him. God says in Exodus chapter 11 and verse 7, but against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. God had his people, and they were to be a separated people unto God. And God said, it is the Lord who has put a difference between Israel and the Egyptians. In the New Testament scripture, remember the Apostle Paul talks about the unequal yoke and what union hath Christ with Belial, or believers with unbelievers, and so on. And we are reminded as Christians in our day and generation, we are to walk that separated pathway unto God. Story is told that during the American Civil War, they found a man. He was running about. He didn't really know what was happening to him. His mind had gone. But he had on the tunic of the Yankees, but his trousers were Confederate trousers. He had the uniform from both sides. He was like Bunyan's Mr. Facing Both Ways. But we are not called to be facing both ways. We are called to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and to be with the godly. And so the Bible reminds us here that Noah's world was a reprobate world, and there was uncontrollable immorality. Started away back with Lamech in chapter 4 and verse 17, that Lamech took unto himself two wives. I don't think he had any warrant or any merit from God or any instruction to take unto himself two wives. But it begins to tell us about immorality. And when it speaks there about they were given in marriage, and it goes on to emphasize that, it's speaking also about immorality and fornication and adultery. And there was unparalleled iniquity in those days. The earth was filled with violence. And there was unbelievable indifference. The very thoughts of their hearts were evil continually. God was not in their thoughts. God was not in their heart. And so God saw the wickedness of man was great. And God said, I will destroy. But thank God, God saved Noah. Because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, we live in a world that God is far from the thoughts of men and women. We live in a world that bears all the hallmarks of the fall, and as the years and the centuries and the millenniums have gone on, how great is the sin of men and women throughout this world. I was reading some statistics. I'm not just great in all this modern technology. I still have to rely on books. I play around a little bit with the World Wide Web and the Internet and all the rest of it. I was just thinking when our brother was mentioning about our brethren who were accepted by the presbytery on Friday night. Four young men were at the presbytery and gave their testimony and were accepted. The other young man was interviewed by Skype. Now, has that changed days or not? That's changed days. We're moving on, but there you are. And thank God even for modern technology. But I was reading in a newspaper article that on an ordinary day, an average day in the United Kingdom, 46,800 people are in jail. They are now. 46,800 people. 2,160 credit cards are stolen. There was a fellow came to me one night. He says that his credit card was stolen, but he was perfectly happy because he says the thief didn't spend as much as his wife. So he was happy enough. But there you are. But in this world, in the United Kingdom, 46,800 people are in jail. 2,160 credit cards are stolen. There are 83 sexual offences reported. And every day, at least 40 new drug addicts are registered. And 4 kidnappings are reported. 1 child is abducted. And at least 430 legal abortions. So we live in a world that's a sinful world, and we look no further than our own United Kingdom. But the reality of this passage in Genesis chapter 6 is this, that the more degenerate the times, the more definite the testimony for God and truth. And God had a special man in those sinful times. And that man was a man named Noah. Verse 8 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so it is a privilege for you and for me to live in these days in which we live. Noah's world was reprobate. But I want you to notice that Noah's walk was righteous. And God had a man who was a bright and a shining light, a wonderful testimony to God's grace and to God's saving grace and God's keeping power in his home and in his family. All through the history of the Old Testament scriptures, God had a man or a woman who was a testimony for him. And all down through history, God will have a people, and God will not leave himself, the word of God says, without a witness. So in this world that was reprobate, Noah had a walk with God that was righteous. He was a truly different man. He was a favored man, as we have said in verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And thank God for that free and unmerited favor, the grace of God that reaches you and that reaches me. Noah was born of godly parents, but he needed the grace of God personally in his life. I remember that night I was saved. I realized my mother was saved. I realized my father was saved, but I realized also that if I ever wanted to get to heaven, if I ever wanted my sins forgiven, that then personally I must come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Noah was a favored man. And Noah was a forgiven man. See, the Bible says in verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. Noah had a standing before God. The Bible says in Romans 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And here's a man who experienced the favor of God. And here's a man who is a forgiven man because he is justified before God. He stands before God, as someone has said, the definition of justification is just as if I had never sinned. And we rejoice today that as believers, we rejoice in what our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, has accomplished for us at Calvary, whereby by simple childlike faith, you and I are justified. The old gospel hymn says, justified freely through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. We are justified fully. We are justified freely. And we say, who is he that condemneth? It is God that justifieth. And we are saved. Noah's walk was righteous. He was a faithful man. For it says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. It's referring to Noah's walk and Noah's character and Noah's witness to his wife and to his sons and their wives and to all who would see, to all who would hear. But Noah was a faithful servant of God, and Noah walked with God. God loved Noah, and Noah loved the Lord. It says there in verse 9, faith perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Thank God for the history and the record of men like Enoch and Noah and Moses and Samuel and men like David who walked with God. And what a privilege we have. No matter how dark the day, no matter how dark the night, thank God the Lord has a man, a woman, the Lord has a witness, the Lord has a remnant, the Lord has a people, a witness in this world to let the light of the glorious gospel shine forth. He was a man who was favored and forgiven and faithful. He had fellowship with God. He walked with God in humility day by day. Noah was out of step with the world in which he lived. But he's in step with God. The prophet Amos in chapter 3 and verse 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And Noah walked with God. He didn't rush on ahead. He didn't lag behind. He walked with God. It's good to walk with God. When we walk with the Lord, the hymn writer says, and the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. He was a fearful man. The Bible says in the epistle to the Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11, that Noah was moved, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah was a fearful man. And when I say that, I don't mean that it was a slavish fear, but it was a reverence for God and a fear that he would grieve God. It's just like a child who loves his parents and they do not want to grieve their mother or their father. They do not want to bring a reproach or disgrace to the name of their family, to their parents. And it was that kind of fear that Noah had. Noah was moved with fear. He had a reverence for God. And of course, Noah was a family man because the Bible says here that he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And in this society in which we live, when continually attacks are made against the family and against what men describe as the nuclear family, Noah was a family man. And thank God for parents. Thank God for Christian parents, for a mother and father who know the Lord, who seek to go by the word of God and bring up their children in the fear and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And God will reward them, and God will bless them, and God will keep them. As the old adage says, the family that prays together stays together. And may God bless our homes. As the old hymn says, God give us homes. God give us homes where the Lord is honored. And the most precious possession that men and women have are their family. So Noah was a family man. And when we think about Noah, he was just like Elijah. God had an Elijah when the nation had turned away to Baal. And God had a Daniel when the nation was carried away into captivity. God had a Noah when the whole world was in wickedness. God had a Martin Luther after what historians call the devil's millennium, and men and women were in darkness. God had the revivalists. God had the great men and women of faith. So Noah's world was reprobate. And Noah's walk was righteous. You'll notice something else. Noah's witness was real. Noah was called of God. And as he prepared the ark, the Bible says that he was a preacher of righteousness. Noah's witness in our reprobate world was real. And that's what we need, reality in lives of men and women. When the world's crowd went with the pleasures of this world, the drink and the drugs and the immorality and the violent and the corrupt lifestyle of this world in which we live, God calls us to be witnesses for him. And his witness, as it were, was twofold. He had holiness of life, and his lifestyle condemned the ungodly, by the which he condemned them, as he prepared an ark for the salvation of his home, of his house, of his family. He condemned the world. And you know, when a child of God is in a place, it, even without speaking oftentimes, it condemns the world. And men and women often feel uncomfortable that a child of God has come into their company and into their midst. And of course, he had the security. He was a just man, a holy man, a faithful man, but he had that security in his own heart and life that I have been forgiven. I am ready to meet God. And he confidently believed in God. He consistently behaved for God. And continually he besought God as he sought to build the ark. But I want you to notice something else here. When the Bible talks about Noah and his just his generations, and then it talks about when Noah went into the ark, and when Noah came out of the ark, it was Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. Noah's wife is recorded here. Noah's wife is recorded here. Verse 18 of Genesis 6. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And I say that because oftentimes, frequently, the wives of some of the great servants of God are taken for granted. But God mentions Noah's wife. An awful tragedy. God mentions Lot's wife. And Lot's wife and her disobedience and looking back and her desire for the cities of the plain and the lifestyle of Sodom. She was condemned and she was judged. But here's a woman of faith. Here's a woman who loved God, who loved her husband. Perhaps when Noah was out building the ark, and he was mocked. We sometimes sing in the children's meetings, "Mr. Noah built an ark." The people thought of such a lark, and we point to our heads, and that's what the people thought about Noah. Here's a crazy man building this huge ship. They had never seen rain. He's talking about a flood. And the world would laugh him to scorn and ridicule him. But there was somebody there who supported him. When he came home, his wife. There was somebody there who sheltered him in the times when he felt discouraged. In the times when he felt, can I really keep going? Can I really keep going on? There was someone there who shared with him this burden, this task that God had given him. And thank God for Noah's wife as a wife, as a mother, and as a mother-in-law. She was faithful, but her husband Noah before God. The Bible speaks about such women in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 31, that her price was far above rubies. Think it, I just close by saying Noah's work was rewarded. You see, Noah's world was reprobate, and Noah's walk was righteous, and Noah's witness was real, and Noah's wife was recorded, but Noah's work was rewarded by his faithfulness. Noah saved his house. And that's a wonderful thing. You know, we sometimes think there are tasks that are possible, and there are some that seem to be impossible. And I'm sure when God said, "Noah, I want you to build an ark, and after this fashion you will build it, and I'll give you the length and the breadth and the height, and I'll tell you about the wood you've got to take, and I'll tell you how to pitch it within and without with pitch. I know I want you to be a witness for me." It seemed an impossible task. But he obeyed by faith. It was by faith and moved with fear that Noah built the ark. And by faith and moved with that same fear of God, we seek to build our lives and build our homes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, and build our church, our churches, for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Noah's name means rest. Means rest. He was very active for a long time in the preparing and in the building of the ark. But he would bring about, after the judgment, there would be rest and even restoration. When Noah pitched the ark within and without, and he went in, and I'm sure you've heard it all before, but oftentimes we refer to it that the word that speaks about pitch is the word kafar in the Hebrew language that speaks about atonement. And when Noah was in the ark, he looked at the pitch and the walls of the ark, he could see, as it were, the atonement. And when God looked down from heaven, he could see the pitch on the outside that speaks about the atonement. And Noah was safe and secure. And you and I are safe and secure in Christ. We are rejoicing that when God called Noah to come into the ark, the Bible says God shut the door. And all who got into the ark, thank God, got out of the ark. And we rejoice as a people of God. We can sing with the hymn writer, "He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. And then he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones and the Savior I shall meet." And you think even of that wood, the gopher wood that was used, the, as it were, the incorruptible wood that speaks to us of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know it was safe in the ark. I remember Brother the Reverend McCrae used to sing an old gospel hymn, and I can't remember all the verse, but the first line of it said, "On Calvary's hill an ark has been built." And thank God you and I, who are saved by the grace of God, we are in Christ We are in God's ark, and we are safe, thank God, and safe for time and for God's eternity. We have experienced God's gracious salvation, God's great salvation in our hearts and lives. But may God help us to have a witness that's real, to walk with God day by day. Christian life is a pilgrimage, and we are marching upward and onward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. But may God help us to be like Enoch and to be like Noah, to be like that great multitude who are mentioned there in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the chapter of faith, men and women who by faith walked and worked and even warred for God in their day. May the Lord bless these thoughts from his word to all our hearts.